It's Peter Kreiker with Pedal Magazine, and I'm here with Swain Tuff, who is currently in Andorra. How are you doing, Swain?
Hey, doing pretty good. Yeah, life is good here in Andorra, and it's been a really good winter. So, yeah, just back from training camp in Mallorca. Pretty hard 12 days there, and feeling actually quite good and pretty excited for the season to come.
How was the chemistry this year?
Well, there's only six of us in Mallorca, so it's pretty easy going. It was a really relaxed camp with so many races and things going on with the team and around the world. You have San Luis, and then you got Tour Down Under, and then a separate training camp as well down in Australia. It's there's only six of us there in Mallorca, so actually I'd have to say it was really perfect, because as far as training and the workload goes, you can really get a lot done with just six guys. So yeah, really nice.
And that lines you up for your first race of the year too, doesn't it? The Challenge Mallorca?
No, actually I've had a bit of a change there, because Qatar has Eddie Merckx style time trial. I will be heading to the Middle East for a little bit of fun in the wind and sand.
That'll be your first trip?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you looking forward to it, or are you a little concerned?
Yeah, well, it's a bit. Qatar is a bit of a love-hate thing, because usually it's one of the first races you do, and you're excited to race, but it's a bit of a crazy race. You know, you have a lot of the classics guys there, and they're using it as a place to really build up, and of course you have long straight flat roads with some pretty wicked winds that can whip up here and there, and so a lot of nervousness and crashes in the bunch. And so yeah, that part, I mean, you never look too forward to, but it's exciting to get racing and kind of get back into the rhythm of things again.
And I gather they treat the riders pretty well at that event.
Yeah, I mean, I think that country does all right with their oil, so yeah, the riders are pretty well taken care of in the Ritz-Carlton there, which mm-hmm. seems.
It'll spoil you for the year, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's actually a bad way to start, because then, you start to wonder about your life when you're stuck in a Campanile in France, 2 months down the road.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So what does your calendar look like for this year?
It's pretty similar to last year. Started with Qatar, and then back home for some pre-training before Torino, Milan San Remo, then head into the classics. It looks like E3, Depana, Flanders, and Roubaix, and then Giro, Slovenia, and the Tour. And then it's always kind of a moment where you kind of look over things, see how you're going, if you make it even to the Tour, or many things can change, and so that's the guideline as of now.
It sounds like a pretty full schedule that you've got.
Yeah, it's definitely a heavy first bit there, but I'm lucky if that does all work out in that sense, then after the Tour, my next big focus really wouldn't be until the World Championships team time trial in Spain there. So you have a bit of time to kind of gather yourself again and get your head back in the game.
So doing three grand tours in a year, not something you want to tackle?
No, I don't. I don't think that's a good way to go. But some guys, Adam Hansen seems to enjoy it, but myself, not so much.
Even two is a lot. That's a
two is fair enough for me.
So I know the team has gotten off to a good start, especially with Simon Gerrans down at the Tour Down Under. What's the general buzz?
Well, you could actually tell with Gerrans back in our we had a training camp in Australia in the end of November, and you could just see it. You just knew he's one of those guys. He picks his objectives throughout the season, and he's on the mark every time. So it's like, even back in the end of November, you're like, oh yeah, Garrett's going to win Nationals, and he's going to win Down Under. He just he's very good at preparing himself, and he just has an iron will, really. It's pretty impressive. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the team's super happy, of course, because a huge amount of our sponsors are based there in Australia, and that's Australia's only World Tour event, and And wow, to have a head-to-head battle with Cadel Evans there and make a really exciting race, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was quite the battle too. Gerrans had the GC for most of the race until Evans had that stellar climb.
Yeah.
Then to pull it back by 1 second.
Yeah, that's some close calls, and it's amazing how Garrow's been sprinting. You know, it's to roll Greipel on that. I think turned a few heads there. So
yeah, it's a good sign. Yeah. So I saw the backstage pass on the training camp that you guys did, and there was a 200-kilometer ride in 36-degree weather. That must have been pretty tough.
Yeah, you know, up until that point, I've been pretty much backcountry ski touring and living the winter life here in Andorra, and you know, making that trip to Oz was a bit of a shocker to the system. I really only spent 8 days there, so just enough time to get over the jet lag and then just do it all over again. So yeah, that was a bit of a rough trip and doing some big kilometers because the Australians, they just never stop. And there's most of us like from Europe or North America, we don't do that. I mean, maybe some guys do, but I can't remember the last time in November when I was riding 200 plus K in, 40 degree weather like this. And it's, but it was nice. It was good to see everyone and a nice change of pace from life here.
So I'm just going to ask you quickly on the topic of that backstage pass. What do you think of the that whole concept of presenting the fun side of the team as well?
I think it's actually really cool in the sense for a lot of us. I mean, bike racing and typical bike racing interviews, I don't think a lot of people really get to see the character of a lot of the riders, you know, because there's so much sponsorship stuff and things wrapped into a race, and it's always a lot more serious questions. And so I think bike racers kind of come off as nerds and just kind of not really interesting people, and I think that's really not the case. There's a lot of characters out there, and especially on a team with a bunch of Australians, there's a lot of characters. So yeah, I think, you know, Dan Jones, our video guy, he does a great job, and I think, you know, maybe for a lot of people who follow the sport, it's just nice to get a different, you know, a different taste for what the riders really are like and see some of their character. Yeah, I think it's kind of the way of the future, really, for teams to be a lot more transparent. With a lot of those backstage passes, you see into the day of a life of a rider on our team, and I think that's a pretty neat thing.
I absolutely agree. Orica Greenedge has set the standard pretty high, so it's going to be tough for other folks to match.
Yeah, the tour was definitely a real highlight, a real funny moment for us because, you know, here we are, we arrived in Corsica, everyone's serious, everyone's getting ready, you know, and you got Dan Jones out there trying to rally everyone up to get these wigs on up in the parking lot, you know, for the AC/DC tribute. And you got teams like Astana and Katusha walking by looking at us. We're all got these air guitars and wigs on and doing this crazy stuff for Dan. And, you know, it turned out to be a great success and a great hit, but when we were doing it, we're like, geez, we better do something at this tour because we look pretty friggin' crazy right now.
Yeah, and I'd say you accomplished that mission. Have you seen the 12 Days of Christmas backstage?
Yeah, he was doing all that while we were at the team training camp in Oz this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Well done.
the Yates brothers.
Yeah. So from the heat in Australia, you headed up to Norway for some cross-country skiing?
Yeah, I have family still in Oslo, and my wife and I went up to Lillehammer, and then just north of there to a ski area called Nordsetter. Met some friends from BC. Yeah, we spent New Year's probably maybe 4 or 5 days up there, and just skiing every day, and it's just amazing up there, just absolutely amazing track set for miles. And whew, yeah, it was very, very good trip and a great way to spend the New Year's.
Do you consider cross-country skiing cross-training, or is it just fun for you?
Yeah, I find I'm lucky because I see it as both. Like, it's something I would do no matter what. But I actually think, like, classic classic skiing is probably the best thing a cyclist can do, because you're basically using the opposite muscles of everything you do on a bike, and restructuring your whole weakened body. You know, a guy like me, now it's been quite a few years on a bike, and you know, the rigors of the season, it's you know, a couple grand tours and everything else, you're just riding. And you get strong in some areas, but you get pretty useless in many other areas. And I just find the cross-country skiing, especially the classic style, really strengthens your hamstrings and your glutes and your lower back. And those are all things that really struggle on a bike, because you're so frontal, orientated with your quads. And so you get these imbalances, and that's what starts these injuries. And I just feel a million times better if I do a good block of cross country skiing and then hop on the bike, and yeah, I just feel like the body's resilient.
It's interesting. Most cyclists I know are doing skate skiing as opposed to classic, but you much prefer classic.
I think the, you know, any kind of skiing is great as far as I'm concerned. But like I said, I really think the classic is just so symmetrical and perfect in the sense of the areas that we need to work on. Where I you know, it's funny because skate, it's very popular in North America, but like in a place like Norway, it's not so much. I bet you 80% of the people are classic there, and you see kids and grandmas with perfect technique. And I think that's just it. Like skate, it's just the way it is. It's a lot easier to just, you know, your wax lasts that much longer, and you can just go out and give her for an hour or two. And classic is, you know, you got to have the good wax for the day, and it takes a bit of time and technique to actually have a decent day out there, or else you're just struggling. So I think it's just one of those things. When you get really into it, you start to really enjoy all the aspects of classic skiing.
Form is a much bigger deal, although I'm sure the skate skiers will disagree with me. You have some history with that sport, though. Going back to your grandfather?
Yeah, my grandfather from Norway, he was a cross-country ski racer and went to the Olympics for Norway in 36. Yeah, he was, it was such a big part of Norwegians' life. They're pretty much born on skis, and my dad was raised the same way. And he passed that on to me and my brother. So, yeah, pretty fortunate to have that, have that in the family.
Yeah, well, certainly for anybody to be able to make an Olympic team in a country like Norway is pretty impressive. So the fact that your grandfather accomplished that, and he raced for quite a few years, didn't he?
Yeah, until the war started up, and then, yeah, life was quite a bit different after that.
But, yeah.
You know, all through his younger years, he was definitely, an active character.
And did you actually get to meet him?
No, unfortunately, I never made the trip when I was younger. Yeah, just, you know, until I've really been living more in Europe, I haven't been going to Norway as much as I would have liked, you know.
He didn't teach you the technique that you have, your dad did?
No, I learned as a little guy with my dad, and so hopefully, you know, some things passed down.
That's very cool. Any plans for the next few weeks before you get ready for your race?
Actually, we're going to ski as much as possible, but we're probably going to do a little road trip, rent an RV, maybe head down the coast of Spain just for some warmer weather for the next 3-4 days. It's supposed to snow and be kind of cold up here, so I need to be a little more bike orientated for the next little bit with some intensity work, trying to prepare for some team time trial stuff and time trials. So yeah, it's probably more important that I stay on the bike a bit. So yeah, we'll do a little trip, and then Qatar's sneaking up pretty fast here already, so we'll be right back at it before you know it.
Well, I hope you do find some warm weather, and if you do, send some back this way.
Yeah, I'll be searching.
Okay, thanks, Wayne.
Thank you.